Hello, and welcome back to Ducky's Detective Agency. I know it's been quite a while, and I wanted to welcome you back by giving you a little bit of a heads up. I've done things a little bit different this time around. I actually recorded this episode live on Twitch while I was pouring a cold process soap recipe that matches the case I discussed. The episode is a little bit short because it was my first time pouring soap at the same time as talking about a case, but do feel free to hop on over to twitch.tv/DuckyDragonTamer, and I'll make sure that that is in the show notes. And Etsy, I have an Etsy store, Ducky's Killer Suds, if you want to check out previous soaps, and this one when it's ready in about a month, because I do have to dry out a bit. And I do talk a little bit about the soap at the beginning of the episode. I'm going to try to get it up on YouTube as well, and I'll get that link added. But enjoy, hang out. There is a little bit of a mention of rape, so just a heads up on the trigger warning. And the murder victims in this story are police officers. I know that's a little bit of a touchy subject right now, so I do want to give a warning about that too. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for hanging out. Be good to each other. Be kind. Just remember, be nice. It's free. We love you all. Thanks. So as I was saying, I have been learning to make cold process soap and am very much into true crime and forensics. I'm actually studying forensics and love them very, very much. So I decided to combine the two and kind of put them together in what I hope is a fairly unique way. I have been working on a line of true crime themed soaps. I have started an Etsy. If you follow me on Twitter, you've probably already seen at least one soap. The one that I'm going to start here in a moment, and it looks like I bumped my camera a little out of whack when I was setting up the table, so I'll have to adjust that so slightly, is a fingerprint themed soap, because the case that I'm going to tell you about while we start pouring the soap is one that was solved 45 years, 46, almost 47 years after it occurred, thanks to one partial fingerprint that they found in the getaway car, and the advent of a new FBI national database. It is amazing what one little piece of forensic technology can do, and how many people could potentially have been saved through the advent of that new technology. And hopefully, in the process, we get some cool soap out of it, right? So that's kind of neat. That's kind of neat. So before I get too far into the case, I want to kind of tell you about the soap, because that is the messy and gooey part. So let us slide on over here. You're going to kind of be looking at the side of my head for a bit. The camera that I have on this side is going to be focused on the table rather than me, so you can see what I'm doing here. I'm not going to give away my secret recipe. I'll tell you what is in the soap, but not necessarily how much. Because, well, that would just make it too easy for someone to steal it. So, give you a look here at the table. What you are staring at the moment is actually a freeze frame from earlier. Let's see. Seem to be, because that's not what's on my table right now. Hey, Kim. Let's wake up, buddy. That's not what's there. Oh, goodness. Maybe that's just a fun night for technology. It is KFC level secret recipe. But I will tell you what, just not how much. As soon as my lovely little camera here decides to catch up, because for some reason, it's showing, actually has not been on the table for about 5 minutes. So while I try to figure out what's going on with the camera, let me give you a quick rundown. What I have here in front of me, you can't see for some reason, is a mix of olive oil, coconut oil, sweet almond oil, shea butter, melted to its liquid form, and I'm gonna give him a rest. And essential oils for smell. I don't like to use fake fragrances because I've noticed that it sounds like a smoothie, that the fake fragrances lose their smells after a little while, or they tend to fade out or get just kind of off after a little bit. And some people tend to be sensitive to them, and it can be just kind of meh after a little while. And I am one of those people, so I don't want to give somebody else something if it might make me react. Why would I give it to somebody else? So I use essential oils. The soap we're gonna pour today, if I can ever get this camera to work so I can show you, is a mix of cedar and magnolia. The case that we're doing is actually takes place in Southern California. And I tried to find some scents that would be more appropriate for Southern California. Something that might actually occur naturally in Southern California. But I couldn't find a whole lot of naturally occurring plant life for Southern California. So, the cedar and magnolia I tried once before together, and I really, really liked it, so we're gonna use it again. Camera ever comes to life. What is going on? All right, so there he's awake now, so let's see if he'll catch up to what we've got on our table here. Maybe, someday. Come on, buddy, you can do it. And the only thing that goes in to my soap that's not 100% natural are my micas. My micas are lab created because there's a lot of hullabaloo with some of the mines where they're getting the micas from lately. And basically, think of the movie Blood Diamond. Apparently, they're having a lot of the same issues. So I do use some lab-created micas just to avoid that sort of scenario. But I don't know what's going on with this camera. Holy bananas. If you don't get it straight, maybe we'll just move my other camera over. We'll turn me off and let you just look at my table, because my goodness. Because that's the important part, is what's on the table, not my face. I need to get the lye solution mixed into these oils soon before it gets too cool. If it gets too cold, it takes a lot longer to get it set up the way we want. All right. Let me pop to my break screen for just a moment. I'm gonna swap these cameras out so you can actually see what I'm doing, because this is not okay. Oh no, that's okay. I was more worried about me popping in the music anyhow. That was mainly for my idea back in starting up screen. So give me just a moment to deal with this camera. I'll be right back. So not quite the vertical that I was hoping for, but you can see my table now. You can also see my whole tummy, so, but you can see my table now. I'll have to figure out what's up with that second camera I bought at some point in the very near future. What a pain. All right, this will get us through tonight. So, now, we can continue on. First things first, before I start playing with this lie solution, let me pull my hair back and put my gloves on, because it is a caustic chemical, and I don't want to touch it barehanded. I do try to avoid that as much as possible. All right, so what we are going to pour here is going to be two different colors. One I'm going to color, one I'm going to leave kind of a natural color of the soap. And then I'm going to add a little bit of a topper on top. So I'll have technically three colors. Let me get the lye in. I'm going to make a little noise with my stick blender, and then we'll dig into our case once I'm done making a little bit of noise. Won't be a very long mix with my stick blender. Let's readjust that spoon a bit. It is kind of a long pour. Once I get started, it's pretty repetitive. That does lend itself to allowing me to talk. Little one here. I don't know if you can see that. It's got some nice little holes to allow air to break out when it splashes and make a big mess. Nice. So we want it a really, really thin batter. So I just really wanted to change color and stick to my blender without separating. This is honestly the most important part of making the soap, because if you over or under do the blend, you can ruin the entire pour. Just the white color. There. this one, I'm gonna make kind of a greenish black to kind of look like the fingerprint powder. That noise is probably terrible on the microphone, I'm sorry. Are already in here because I use the essential oils. I mix them in while the original oils are already in, nice and hot and mixed together before I mix the lye in with them. That is the benefit of using the essential oils. I don't have to mix them in with the colors later. I don't have to worry about them. Some of the fake fragrances do a thing called accelerating, which makes your stuff tighten up and get gross and hard before you want it to. The essential oils are already in here. All of the nice meat and ready to go. And this is a squeeze bottle that I'm going to use for the little bit of red topping that we're going to do at the very end. Let's take it out of this one since it's so cool. Pull on just a little bit. More than I needed this pattern. We're just going to set this aside and let it set up. This is going to go on at the very end, so I want this to be a little bit more set up. Next thing that I get to do is make a little bit of a mess. Here is my blackish green that I talked about. I actually have literally a silver black mica, a blackish green is the name of this color that I mixed together. Go ahead and pour this in. I mixed them together with a little bit of oil that I siphoned off before. Soup and not soap. Oh, I'm sorry, Crimson. And I combined these micas in with a little bit of the oils that I siphoned off earlier before we added the lye. And we're just going to mix this right on in. Thank you for the host, Crimson. I appreciate you. Our little dancing duck in the middle appreciates you. And I didn't see if Bongo Cat did her thing, but she should have been dancing down there in the corner, too. Whether she danced or not, she appreciates you, too. We'll just get all these nice little colors in here. We're gonna dip the spoon and use the spatula because that's what I brought it in for. Scrape out all that nice mica into promise the boring part is almost over, and we will get in the crime bit here in just a minute. Now, the other one, I know, looks real yellow, but when I'm all finished pouring the soap, I'm going to do a thing called C-pop, where I put the whole thing in the oven for a little bit. It sounds totally dangerous and terrifying. I freaked out when I first heard about it, but it's less scary than it sounds. You put the oven on to the lowest setting. As soon as it's done preheating, you shut it off. Put your soap mold in the oven, and you let them both cool off together. Because the lye solution in your soap heats the soap up. That's what solidifies your soap. And that extra little bit from the oven just increases that solidification. Shortens the amount of time it takes. And it helps settle your colors. So this blackish green will be even more blackish green. It'll set in a little harder. And it'll help turn that white even more white and less yellow. So it'll give it a little bit more solid coloration. The last time I put this combination of reds through the seed pot, it came out just perfect. So now what we're going to do is pour this into two pitchers with bubbles on the end of them. These pitchers, and we're going to take turns pouring them right into the center of my big slab. One, two, right on top of each other, and let them layer out. And at the end, we're going to draw some cool swirls, which I'll show you at the very end. I'm going to make some pitchers, I'm going to get my slab mold set up, and then we're going to start talking. Jones. I'm going to throw a couple quick trigger warnings at you here. Obviously, the first and foremost is death. This man did kill two people. They were police officers, and I know that's kind of a sensitive topic at the moment. This was a long time ago. This was back in the 40s. And there is brief mentions of violence against women. I will not go into any details about what was done. I will spare you that, I promise. I know that is a trigger for me, so I won't put anyone else through that. And at the end, I do plan on sharing some short quotes from the children of the victims, because I feel like they are something that any of us who have ever lost a loved one can relate to. And I will be taking the case part of this. I can stop using okay. At the end, I will be taking the case part of this and turning it into an episode for my podcast feed. I will share the links for the podcast feed. Meant to make a panel for that on my Twitch. I haven't done that yet. But I will share the links for that. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Apple Podcasts. And a few other places. I believe I'm on CastBox, but I'm not a big fan of them. I mean, I meant to go and check that. Ducky's Detective Agency is the name of the podcast. And all of the links for my sources will be located there, including some photos of everyone involved, the victims and the perpetrator. The sources that will be linked include several TV shows that did episodes on this case. I will give a list of them in just a bit. They are mentioned pretty quickly in the beginning of my description of the case, so just sit tight and you will get all those, I promise. There is a website out there dedicated to the 10 oldest cases ever solved. That is one that I will link to in the podcast. Rearranging my table a little bit to make some space here. And the LA Times was actually a big one that I used. They did a very... Oh, thank you, zombie! They did a very, very, very in-depth look at this case that was just wonderful. My last pour of this got a little messy, so I'm making myself just a quick guide to keep my nozzles in the center. I'm sure I will bump those and make a mess, but hey, what you gonna do, right? I am going to take one glove off so that I can get to my drink. Okay, I'm going to take them both off. I've already poured the lye water. So long as I keep my hands out of the soap batter, we're good. I also need to manipulate my tablet. I won't tell if you don't. All right. So, now I'm going to start my layers. And let's talk about this case. So, the two victims whose names I will repeat as many times as I can, because I am a big, big proponent for humanizing our victims. I know that that is a thing that some places try to do and some places don't. I am one that tries. I try very, very hard, especially victims of certain crimes and victims of certain social castes. I will go as far out of my way as possible to say the names over and over and over and over and over again. So please forgive me, but that is something that I will do over and over and over again. But our two murder victims today are Milton Curtis and Richard Phillips. They were found dead July 22nd, 1957. There was no conviction until March 24th of 2003. I mentioned earlier that this case took place in El Segundo, California. And our suspect is named Gerald Mason. I say suspect, but we know at this point that he is, in fact, guilty. His downfall, as I mentioned when describing our soap today, was a thumbprint and the improving FBI database technology. This story was covered by cold case files, forensic files, and 48 hours. According to the LA Times, which I mentioned was my main source material for my notes, Gerald Mason was sentenced to 2 life terms in prison March of 2003, after he gave his statement in court that included his confession and an apology, which he stated, "I don't understand why I did this. I truly detest these crimes. I still do not want to remember what happened." Well, buddy, I got news for you. Nobody to blame but yourself. Nearly 46 years earlier, Milton Curtis and Richard Phillips spotted a man running a red light in El Segundo. Just before 1:30 in the morning on July 22nd, 1957, excuse me, being police officers, on what was presumably a quiet night, they did what police officers do and stopped the driver. What they did not know was the man they just stopped had committed another crime and was getting ready to add to that list. You see, around midnight that same night, Mason had found himself in a popular... Scroll! Sorry, guys. A popular Hawthorne makeout spot for teens and young adults. He had robbed 2 15-year-olds at gunpoint, and then, trigger warning, raped one of the underage girls. I promise that's nearly the only mention, and that is as much detail as I will go into on that incident. When the officer stopped him for running that red light, it's easy to imagine that he thought he was going to get locked up. Instead of accepting his fate and taking responsibility for his crimes, Milton Curtis and Richard Phillips each received 3 shots before Mason fled and managed to evade capture for nearly 46 years. All they found that night was his getaway car. A Ford. That's all they found. He got up, went to that makeout spot, did what he did, ran away. 1.5 hours later, he runs a red light. Gets pulled over, and all they get is a Ford. Nothing comes of it until years and years later. They take the car in, they examine the car, they do their thing, just like we do now. But of course, back then, you know, technology wasn't the same. He thought he was scot-free, right up until a partial fingerprint from that crime scene just happened to trigger a match in a new national database that the FBI was building. Following that ping, the detectives on the case arrested Mason. Once they had him, they brought him in. They took him into an interrogation room, and one of the very first things they asked him to do was take off his shirt. They asked him to turn around, and they looked at his back. Why? Well, let me explain. The very last thing that Richard Phillips was able to do as he laid there dying with 3 gunshot wounds was squeeze off a few gunshots of his own. All of them went into that getaway car. One of them, based on the trajectory, they were able to determine went through that getaway car and into the back of the driver, just below the shoulder. Guess who carries a matching scar? Officer Phillips was able to mark not only his killer, but the man who stole the innocence from that young girl at that makeout spot. the man who robbed four teenagers at gunpoint. And as it turned out, was also being held on a burglary charge. After he had committed all of those other crimes, he had broken into someone's convenience store. He was a convenience store owner himself, guys. He broke into someone else's convenience store. This man was just clearly escalating. The original murder he thought was a way to defend himself. Who knows what else he would have done? So anyway, back in the courtroom, nearly 46 years later at this point, this man is standing there, claiming to feel remorse, claiming to be sorry, claiming to these people's children that he feels bad for taking their parents. No mention of whether anyone's ever made him take responsibility for what he did to those teenagers. But now that he's staring down two full life terms, the children of these officers, they get to stand up and they get to tell them what they think. And this is the part that if you've ever lost anyone that you love, I think that this is something you can relate to. Keith Curtis, Milton Curtis's son, he stands up in open court and he says he's sorry now. It's been 46 years. He's only sorry now because he's been caught. Sounds like talking to anyone's child, doesn't it? Oof. Carolyn Phillips, Richard Phillips' daughter. Your cowardly act shattered our lives forever. You caused our mother to become a widow with three babies to raise alone. There is no way to describe our pain. There is no way to describe our emptiness and anguish we have felt all our lives without Dad. We cannot and will not forgive you. Can you believe the levels a man like this has to go to stand there and ask someone to forgive him? Clearly, my opinion, not the opinions of anyone who wrote any of my source material, just my own. But I stand by them. Sheriff's Deputy Howard speaks. The gentleman who was in charge of fingerprinting the car when it was originally brought in, he was 88 years old at the time of the trial. I didn't think we'd ever see the day, he says. 88 years old. The match that put that man away for life came from a 1956 burglary conviction. The LA Times article mentions 6,000 fingerprints that at the time, in 2003, still hadn't been added to the national database. I don't know what that number looks like now. That was not something that I had added to my research. But I do think that that number speaks to a larger problem. I think that we can quote things like stop the backlog. Things like that 6,000 number 1956 burglary. He went to jail. Well, this conviction was in 2003. They could have had that match how many years earlier? But, he's off the streets. He's put away. The case has been solved. 46 years. 46 years. A partial thumbprint. Is that not amazing? I need to refill my pitchers. I need to make the next layer of soap. Once we get this filled, we'll make some cool swirlies and then add some fun red decoration on top, because what fingerprint is complete without some blood spatter? And I do have an Etsy link if you are interested in some cool soaps. Absolutely zero pressure, but please, if you know anyone who is into the current true crime fad and would like some fun soap, you are welcome to send them my way. At least my Etsy way. If there is, at any point, a case that you think would be fun or might make an interesting soap, please also send that my way. I did intentionally choose a fairly short one to start out with. I'm hoping to do this every other week, maybe once a month to start out with. I haven't decided just yet. Sunday, if I'm not doing soap, I usually do Final Fantasy. And if I'm not gaming, I'm usually packaging and prepping soap, so. On to the next layer. Yeah, let's start the music back up. What do you guys think? Questions, comments, concerns? Thank you for stopping by. You have no idea how much I appreciate it. I was very much expecting to be talking to an empty room. Especially after my camera malfunction earlier, that was unfortunate and frustrating. I think at this point I may have had it for too long to return it. Teach me to get things and not use them right away. Time to refill the funnels again. This is the part that takes forever. I should have written more to fill up all of those pour time. I underestimated how long it would take me to say all those words I wrote down. Definitely expected to still be reading the case at this point. I figured we'd at least be to the blood spatter by the time I was done. Once again, I have proven myself wrong about how fast I can talk. This should be the last picture. And then we do the swirl. Then we get to do the fun red shake-up with the blood spatter. It's been sitting there getting nice and thick this whole time. Regular. Some of the pores I try to get nice and full circles, and some of them I've been making slightly irregular to try and get that fun fingerprint misshape. I do have a similar pore to this that came out looking kind of tiger striped. I'll show you kind of an example bar. See the different wavy lines we're getting across the top here that are real fun. Oops. Alright, these last few we're going to make just a smidge smaller since we're getting towards the end of them. And we still want to be able to put the lid on the top even after we add our decorations. Alright. Batter back in the bowls so it doesn't just sit here in these funnels getting thick and gross. Okay. I'm going to take my skewer. I'm going to make some fun lines all the way to the bottom. Line. Line. The most common fingerprint pattern is the whorl. The whorl looks about this guy here. Bloop. Kind of a loopy, but not quite. They tend to go in and out of your finger the same direction. We're gonna make some more kind of bigger ones this way. Loop. Loop. Alright. Now comes time for the real fun. So let's move. There we go. Now you can see that. That's kind of fun, right? Cool. You see my red? I might add a little bit more bronze red to this. It looks a little cartoony. And we definitely want it to look a little bit more blood than cartoon. By mixing the mica into the oil before we mix it into the soap batter, it absorbs just so, so much better. If you mix the mica directly into your batter, you get lumps and chunks and all kinds of gross. It just doesn't set in quite right. And what your batter looks like before saponification is not always what it's going to look like afterwards. That is something to keep in mind. Things change in the saponification process, especially colors and smells, which is what that C-pop in the oven I was talking about is really, really good for. I'm just gonna pour this right on into my little squeezy bottle. A lot of soap makers will mix this up before they put it into the squeezy bottle. I have had good luck with it this way. And am a big fan of once I know something works, just keep it. You know, just keep it. Why change it if I know it works? We'll dump that in my dirty dishes pile. Zombie was oh so lovely and cleaned the kitchen earlier today, so I don't have to worry too much about where to put things afterwards because everything is already clean, and I'll have a nice clean area to go to do my dishes after this is done. Okay. My squeezy top is here. We're going to make sure this is on securely. And I'm going to back away from my table now that I've got this all nice and poured and pretty. So now we're going to add some red squeezies on top to look like blood spatter. Test squeeze. Cool. Cool. And that color is what I like. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, in the case, there was gunshots, and there was blood, and there was fingerprints. So the fingerprint solves the case, make the soap the fingerprint, make the accent the blood spatter. Why not, right? Comments, questions, case suggestions, soap ideas, throw them at me.